90.9 FM WJAB. Good afternoon and welcome to the first for this semester Presidential Community News from the Hill. We are excited to have our 11th president here with us once again, Dr. Andrew Hugeni Jr. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, Ms. Erica Fox, as well as to all of the listeners. It's such a delight to be back for another great academic year at Alabama A&M University.
Off and running with big numbers, excitement, enrollment. Let's just hit the ground running right now. Enrollment numbers are huge.
Yes, the numbers are looking good. Our vision for the university is to be the institution of choice. And by choice, we mean that when an individual thinks of a university to pursue their post-secondary education, they think about Alabama A&M University. And so we are so delighted that we're having more and more students to think about Alabama A&M University. For six consecutive years, we've been fortunate to have an enrollment increase. This current year, we're up about 2%, 1.7% to be exact. We also have the second largest freshman class that we've had in the history of the university.
Really?
So our numbers this year are 6,108 are the numbers that we have, and we are just delighted to be over that 6,000 mark and continuing to increase. We think there are a number of reasons why that is true. Obviously, when you think about new construction, this year we fully opened our new residence hall, and that's always something that tends to attract students and encourage them to come to the university. So that's one of our showcase this year is that beautiful state-of-the-art residence hall. But in addition to that, we were looking at the presidential bus tour, which has been extremely successful. And we aren't sure that it is the total driver of the enrollment, but there seems to be a little parallel between the presidential bus tour and the enrollment increase. We've been doing that for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh year is coming up, and we've kind of seen an uptick in enrollment each of the years since we've been doing it. So that, along with the dedication of the staff and everyone chipping in and making truly recruitment and institutional focus, I think that's why we've been successful in having enrollment increase. So we are pleased with where we are. Our future goals is to kind of just maintain. We don't think we're going to have significant increases going forward. But if we can maintain where we are, right around the 6,000 mark for the next couple of years, I think that would be great for the university.
Can you just imagine if we got to 10,000?
President 15 or 16 will probably be the one that has the opportunity of seeing that number.
Mm-hmm.
I think an optimum number for Alabama A&M University is around 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
7,000, you're large enough to offer the full array of programs that you want so that you can afford those programs. But you're still small enough that you, even though you may not know them by name, you get familiar with the students on the campus. You can see them. The interaction with faculty and staff is still there. When you get very large, you become a bit more impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the great things about Alabama University is we are truly a family.
Yes.
So you can interact. And so I think around 7,000 would be an optimum number for the institution.
I remember watching Paper Chase back in the 70s on TV, and the guy in the classroom is just a big, huge theater-style classroom from side to side, bottom to top, and how does the teacher really know who is in there? So that's a good point, that we are small and personable.
And I think that's very, very important.
Now, what about the naming of the new residential hall? Is that up and coming? Are you still mulling over names?
Well, the process is that the Board of Trustees is the entity that provides names for all the buildings on the campus.
Mm-hmm.
The board has appointed a subcommittee of the board, consisting of alumni and others, and so that committee is being chaired by a former board member. Attorney Blankenship mm-hmm. is chairing that committee, and so they will come to the board with recommendations, and it's only recommendations because the board can decide to accept their recommendations or decide to do something different. But there are a couple of things that are totally the purview of the board, naming of facilities being one, permission to construct. No one else can do that but the board. Anytime that you have lease agreements, mm-hmm. that has to be done by the board. And the other is the selection of the president. That's totally up to the board. The board can, and they normally do, mm-hmm. ask for input. But if you look at some of the institutions, you'll see, particularly here in the state and other larger universities, they just meet and say, that's who we want.
Okay.
So there isn't a requirement, mm-hmm. By statute. The Board of Trustees, that's one of their functions.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing that happen, come to fruition. And new residential hall, and that leads to me thinking of numbers, which leads me to scoreboard, which connects to athletics and our football games, and it's an exciting season so far.
The season is going extremely well. We are so delighted with the direction that we see. I think Coach Maynard is going to do a wonderful job for us here at Alabama A&M University. We, of course, won our first game opener between Miles. Came very close with UNA.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with Cincinnati, you're talking about an exhibition game. You put it in perspective, the enrollment at Cincinnati is 45,000 students compared to 6,000 students
Mercy,
here.
Yes.
So, you know, you're not comparing apples with apples.
Mm-hmm.
And we've come very close in two games. And what I'm looking at is, you know, how are they playing together as a team? And I think that you see that they're gelling. I think you're seeing good calls on the part of the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to be good. Now, we have to keep in mind that this is his first year. He's not had an opportunity to do any recruitment, so it's basically those individuals that were here that he's working with. So they have to unlearn the other system,
mm-hmm.
and learn his system, which
right.
takes a while for that to be done. You've got different coaches, so their philosophies have to now all come together. But we see the foundation of that taking place, and I am just confident that Alabama A&M University is going to be something to reckon with in the next couple of years as we continue on the trajectory where we are with our football program.
Mm-hmm.
The scoreboard is just a wonderful addition to Lewis Cruz. Still working through many of the details, and so there are going to be a lot of fun things that will be included in the game day experience.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from the kiss cam to the dance cam
all
these other things it has all of these options and possibilities, and
mm-hmm.
so it's going to do a lot to market the university. If you were at the game, you would see that we were able to take some of the videos that we've shown on local television. We were able to incorporate that then in the game day experience.
And it looks good.
And it looks extremely
mm-hmm.
good. And
mm-hmm.
so we're so delighted and we're proud of the fact that this was a fundraiser. This was not something that came from operational expenses of the university.
Mm-hmm.
The $1 million plus to do this was actually raised. And so that is fantastic. We certainly want to give appreciation to everyone that contributed, but the largest single contributor we had was a graduate of the university, Ms. Miranda Bolden.
Mm-hmm.
She gave the largest contribution. The challenge was given by the McIntosh family. If you mm-hmm. recall back at the Black Tie Gala, they gave a $25,000 challenge to kick this off. And then the ACR group gave a large contribution as an organization. Then you had individual contributions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wonderful fundraising activity and culminated in this, obviously, this new video display board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it didn't start that way.
No.
It was not intended to be that drive. It really was to deal with what was on the parkway because
mm-hmm.
that board...
The marquee
had, mm-hmm. you know, had been in disarray, but then when the discussions began, so you know, we also have a scoreboard that's almost in disarray as
mm-hmm.
well. So the two were able to join those together, and of course, we see what we have today.
It looks good. I'm proud. I am proud, and we want you to get in on the conversation here at the Presidential Community News from the Hill. Please call in with your questions, 256-372-4062, and Marcus Sims will get that information to us, 256-372-4062. And we're talking about naming the presidential hall. All the topics today really go hand in hand. And the 50th anniversary of the naming of Alabama A&M University, can you touch on that and how it's connected to the foundation?
Certainly. Alabama A&M University received this designation in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
I would think probably among the first of the HBCUs to be so designated as a university. Of course, that then ties in with the ability to offer graduate courses as you move from the undergraduate level onto the graduate level. And so next year will be our golden celebration of 50 years as being Alabama A&M University, the university, as opposed to Alabama A&M College.
Right.
Dr. Archie Tucker and Dr. Alan Vidal are chairing and co-chairing this effort. And the reason that Dr. Vidal is there is because, and it was visionary on their part, at the same time that the institution received this designation as a university, it also started a foundation.
Okay.
And so the two are parallel, and we'll be recognizing both of those doing the next year. There are some planning activities now taking place, and how that will all culminate, I don't know, but there will be a lot of discussions about the 50-year and designated and the celebration. So it becomes not only a time to reflect on the past, but also that allows us to talk about where we're going in the future. You know, what is the next 50 years going to look like for Alabama A&M University? And so we're excited, and we'll have more details in the future as to just how that is going to play out. But we do want to encourage everyone to participate. I can say this with certainty. There will obviously be a fundraising effort tied to this. Now, what that goal is at this point, they're still mulling that over. But it's a wonderful time to give a birthday celebration, a birthday present to the university.
Most definitely. And I love that foundation and marketing, communications, and advancement basically really are blood brothers in terms of fundraising for the university. So it's key. And as you really emphasize, especially at graduation rehearsal, for people to give back to the university. So we really want that. So we'll continue to keep our listeners abreast of what's happening as we get more information. You have two new key positions that have been designated here at Alabama A&M University. What were those are?
Yes. There are two areas that we felt there was emerging needs and ways that we needed to strengthen those particular initiatives on the campus. The first is in the area of economic development. One of the things that is very critically important to North Huntsville is economic development. If you look at the city, you will see there's been much development in the South, but there's not much that's taken place in the North. So we want, as an institution, as the anchor institution that's here, we want to join with the city in furthering economic development. We want to find ways that the city can invest in us and ways that we can assist in its development. And so we have asked Dr. Dell Smith, who serves as our dean of the College of Business and Public Affairs, to take on the additional responsibility of serving as the executive director for economic development. That's a natural fit for Dr. Smith, because prior to coming to us, he served in a similar capacity in a full-time way and in Rochester, New York. And so this is not new to him. He has the experience and the background to do this. And so we're very excited about the direction this is going and what it's going to do. And you'll be hearing more from him and more from the university as we partner with the city in this whole area of economic development. The other is to strengthen our ability to better access dollars out of Montgomery. We are not satisfied with the level of support that we have received. Obviously, our local delegation with Representative Daniels and Representative Laura Hall have done a wonderful job in advocating for the university, but we want to do even more. So we've looked at what other institutions have been able to get, and we noticed that we've not gotten our fair share. And so we want to have someone focus on this a bit more. So we've asked Attorney Rosalind Cruz, and so she will be our Director of Governmental Affairs and Communications. She'll be spending a lot of time in Montgomery during the legislative session so that she's there to provide information and resources to help the individual who serves as our lobbyist better advance for the university and better advocate for the university. And so tied with that we have a legislative agenda. And this is what she is advancing for us. The first part of the legislative agenda deals with this whole area of accreditation. You've heard me talk about the need for the College of Business to be accredited from 2009 when I first arrived here. That's a very costly venture. But with 200-plus companies in this area, we need an accredited school of business. And so one of the things we're asking the legislature to do is to help us with that process, help us in terms of providing some $5 million tied into accreditation, not only of that school, but the fact is that we have costly programs here. We're very heavy in the STEM areas, and STEM disciplines tend to cost more than non-STEM disciplines, and so we need more resources. We are proud of the fact that we produce more minority STEM majors in the state of Alabama than any other institution, but we need help to do that. We are making a significant difference. We're changing lives, but we need help, and so we're asking them to give us $5 million there to assist in that regard. And that's also going to help us to be sure we are offering competitive salaries. One of the things we've taken a look at here is the fact that a third of our faculty, if they decided tomorrow to walk, they could do so. And so if you have to replace those faculty members in the marketplace, it's going to be very costly.
Most definitely.
So we need some help there. The other is there's some new initiatives in terms of degree programs. We want to focus on artificial intelligence and cybersecurity are areas that we think are important. One of the growth areas for the future, when you think about how cybersecurity affects all of us, from our bank accounts to everything else that we do. And so we want to have trained professionals in that area. So we're asking the state to help us there. We continue to chip away at our deferred maintenance. We've got about $200 million in deferred maintenance, and so we are asking the state to help us with that. We've not had a bond referendum in a long, long time, and so we do need some help to be sure that, you know, we have the basic, the roofs are taken care of, that we have heating and air in the buildings. So that's going to be about $2,800,000 annually. And then the last is our corporative extension area. We've looked at the funding that has been provided there for Alabama A&M versus our other institution that's a part of the system, being Auburn. Auburn has received slight increases over the year. Our funding has been flat, and so we're asking that there be some equity there.
Most definitely, especially if we're working together.
And we're working together. So that is our legislative agenda. That's what she's going to be advancing. And we ask everyone to be sure that they join with us. She'll be working very closely with the alumni so that as we advance this, we'll have individuals that can touch their representatives in those various communities and help us with that.
That's excellent. I think that was a wise decision to have somebody be able to be that conduit, that in between the university and the legislature. That was smart. We do have a question here. A caller has called in, a listener. Thank you very much. And they said, I have heard about the great numbers for the freshman class. Good job, AAMU. What steps are in place for retention? Good job. And if you'd like to call in on the conversation, 256-372-4062. That's 256-372-4062. Retention.
Excellent. I appreciate the listener asking that question, because that is a major focus that we have at the university right now, to see if we can enhance and improve our retention. You know, obviously, our students, we've got to do a bit more than traditional in order to be sure that they are successful. So we're putting in a couple of initiatives. We have now a team. I'm going to call it more of the retention team as opposed to a retention committee. And that, of course, is headed up by the special assistant to the president, Dr. Swoop, is taking on the responsibility. And we wanted to come out of the office of the president because we think is that important that we focus on retention. We are going to initiate this year, and we are in the final stages of being sure the data is available. It's called predictive analytics. And the way the predictive analytics works, we've looked at the demographics of prior students. They have filled out a questionnaire. And so with that information, they're able to look at a profile and identify students and put them in different categories. And so it will identify this group of students, and we need to do intervention here, whatever that intervention may be. It could be anything from being sure they have the financial resources they need, that's linking them up with available scholarships and et cetera. Mm-hmm. It could be being sure that they are pursuing their appropriate support in terms of tutoring and et cetera. It could be that we need to get them engaged at the university because the research shows that the more engaged you are, the more you're into various activities, the more likely you are mm-hmm. to stay at the university. So we have put in place certain strategies, and we think that over time they will begin to have a positive impact, and we will then be able to retain larger numbers of our students. So it is on the agenda. It's a high priority, and you'll be hearing more and more mm-hmm. and more about this as you go forward. You recall that even at the opening session, I talked about retention and the need mm-hmm. to invest in the university and what that meant for all of us going forward. So,
well, I know several organizations are, at least two of that I want to mention, that are investing in, especially the freshmen, and Office of Student Activities. Mrs. Greer is big on, as I am, getting the young people registered to vote. So the National Panhellenic Council of North Alabama came up last week and registered 36 students, and looking at the list, the majority, probably 80% of them were freshmen. And then Indivisible 5 last night came to band practice, towards the end of band practice last night, and registered. I looked at the stack, and I don't know the direct number, but it looked thick. Maybe about 60 to 70 students were registered last night. So I appreciate organizations having the mind to get involved with the young people in the voting process. And I think that goes back to you talking about the legislative agenda mm-hmm. and getting dollars here at the university to help our students to go forward to the next step. And the young people, if they're registered to vote, then they go to the polls and vote and make a difference in how legislators help us here at Alabama A&M University.
Yeah, I certainly want to follow up on that, because I've seen some posters over campus and flyers, and I'm very encouraged by that. It is critically important that not one, but every student at Alabama A&M University is registered and every student votes. When you think about the sacrifices that individuals have made for the right of us to vote, we shouldn't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
There is a saying, I think, or I heard my wife say that someone, I can't remember who it was, so it's not an Andrew Hugeny saying, but it says that when bad people get elected when good people refuse to vote.
Hmm.
Bad people are elected when good people refuse to vote. It is critically important. There are decisions being made right now in this nation that will affect not Andrew Hugeny, but will affect his grandchildren. These are decisions that are for generations, and they're being made because we fell asleep at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
We did not register. We did not vote. Politics affects everything that we do. So you can't avoid it. There's no way you're going to avoid politics. It affects how fast you can drive, where you, the hospitals that you're going to go to. It even affects what they do to you when they exit you out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's all politics. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take this very, very critically and be sure that we don't just dismiss it. You know, we all have different talents. We all have different financial means. But there's one thing that's the equalizer. I don't care if you are a billionaire, you have one vote. And we need to exercise that one vote. So on that day, everyone is equal, but we take it very lightly. Imagine, and I can't remember who, I think it might have been Representative Daniels that said that Alabama A&M, with the students we have, we can determine the results of any election that we want in this area. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. If we get more students involved and more students voting, then when you call a legislator and say, I want this for Alabama A&M University, you'll get it.
You can make it happen.
You can make it happen.
October 22nd is your final day to register to vote in the November midterm elections. And you can find more information at MadisonCountyVotes.com. And make sure you put an S on the end of votes. And in the few minutes we have left, in terms, I think, the encouraging thing that you could share right now is what you have started. And I like how you started doing this, having themes or like a motto or for every school year. Now it's Aim High. And real briefly, if you can tell us what AIM stands for, what does that mean?
It depends upon what day of the week as to exactly what the different letters the letters are. I think when I talked about it with the opening faculty and staff, I talked about adjusting attitudes. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about investing in the university and investing to make a difference. And then tied into that investing was a need to be motivated. So that was one of those. But there's another that I used at the kickoff of the stadium.
Mm-hmm. At the scoreboard?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This one was advancing the university through investments so that we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all of these variations of Aim High.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, that's our focus. We want to be sure that we're always aiming high here at Alabama A&M University.
Most definitely. Okay, we do have a couple minutes here. We did have a caller, a listener call in. Me and my family enjoyed the Gulf Coast Challenge in Mobile. I was happy to expose my children to the HBCU experience. Why are classics like this important?
Classics like this are very important because they showcase all of aspects of our university. It's an opportunity to put excellence on display.
Mm-hmm.
When you get two great universities coming together in that kind of focus and environment, it does a lot to advance the institutions. It does a lot to make our presence known. And we had a number of activities. We met with the elected officials there. We met with the business officials. We met with alumni. So all of that's about marketing the university. It's a good recruitment tool because when you saw the parade, there were a lot of bands and young people who were in the parade or either participants along the way that they get a chance to see Alabama A&M University and they get a chance to see, in this case, Southern University. So we're always excited when we have the opportunity to play and be a part of any of the classics. And, of course, the grandfather of them all is coming up in the last of October, so we're just excited about the Magic City Classic, and I think this is year 77.
Mm-hmm.
So it continues to be one of the most successful, and we continue to appreciate the support of all of the fans, and everyone looks forward to going there. But let's not forget homecoming here at Alabama A&M University, which takes place before the Classic. Mm-hmm. So we want to invite everyone to come back home and be a part of the festivities. And one of the new features now is, of course, the day party, and so that will be on the quad and should be very, very enjoyable. So come home,
mm-hmm.
and as you come home, don't forget to invest when you come.
Most definitely.
Yes.
We look forward to that. October 13th is homecoming. Then we have a bye week, and then that last Saturday in October is the Classic, the largest classic of all HBCU classics, and we boast about that. We aim high to let you all know about that. Dr. Hughini, thank you so much for being a part of our programming here today. And yes, we will come October 16th, and because then we have a meeting, you're busy, and then we have Classic Week. So we're going to do it a little bit early in October. So we look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me always. And go Bulldogs.
That's right. And thank you for our listeners for calling in and being a part of the conversation. Coming your way next, an update from NPR News. It's award-winning news magazine, All Things Considered. And Marcus Sims with more great smooth jazz and cool vocals here on 90.9 FM, WJAB. I'm Erica Fox. And on behalf of Dr. Hughini and Dr. Swoop, thank you all so much for tuning in and have a great day.
98.9 WJAB-FM Huntsville.